Life is made up of seasons and shifts. It's only right that we learn life is supposed to ebb and flow, right? Everyone has their own story, so why is yours no more valid than the next person's? You are listening to Seasons and Shifts with your host, Crystal Saginski, a podcast curated to inspire and create a wholesome space where you can come to feel understood and heard through the vulnerability of storytelling. I hope through listening, you too can feel inspired to live a life that is aligned with your true, authentic self. Welcome to the podcast, Ellen. I am going to start it off firstly, jumping straight into it. What current season of life are you currently in at the minute?
Oh, that is a really good question. I guess I'm in motherhood for the first time. And I guess for me, I find motherhood has lots of layers and lots of different seasons. So at the moment, I feel like I'm out of the newborn season, definitely, and just trying to like find my feet in whatever season I'm in now. So yeah, in the depths of motherhood, I feel, for the first time, like first time mum depth.
Yeah, and just surrendering to kind of whatever the hell the day throws at you.
Literally, like it's just every day, you literally have to just take every day as it comes. There's no promises. For the next day to be a particular way. So yeah, it's definitely a day at a time kind of thing.
Yeah, cool. So I would love for you to give people a little bit of a rundown currently on what life kind of looks like for you at the minute and what you do.
There's Luke and I, who is my partner, and we've been together for 4 years, and we welcomed our baby girl, Ayla, into the world last December. So that was our first child. And life at the moment looks like bloody lockdown in Melbourne again. Hopefully for not too much longer. But, yeah, we were living in the Dandenong Ranges, and then we moved when Ayla was 2 months old back down the hill to the suburbs. So that was a massive change for everything. So, like, we just had a baby. Luke had changed his job. Like, I hadn't been working. And then we moved house. So everything, like, life as we knew it exactly, like, completely flipped and changed, and that's taken a lot for us as a family to adjust. But before I had Ayla, I still am a life coach, but I was supporting women to feel radiant and rebellious. And again, like we sort of spoke about the seasons of life, that doesn't necessarily feel like it speaks to me now. The radiance and the rebellion, it totally does speak to me, but on a different level. So, yeah, that's something I'm still sort of deep diving into. But, yeah, always feel called to be able to hold space for women in particular. And, yeah, it's always been something that I've been interested in. And I've done it, I think, through different modalities throughout my life. So, yeah, like through makeup artistry and beauty therapy, to then becoming a life coach and being able to hold space that way. So yeah, I think even being a bartender, like you hold space for people because they tell you their life stories and things like that. So yeah, I think I've done it in lots of different ways and it's just evolved.
Yep. And so I'm laughing at the bartender part because I'm like, some days I just wish I could go back to serving coffees in hospitality for a day just to talk to people outside the house.
Right? Literally, like, and that was one of the things when I got pregnant with Ayla, like Luke and I spoke about like what I would potentially do after for work, because the job that I was in previously I don't feel aligned with it at all. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I could totally go and like make coffee for people because I used to do that as well. And I loved that. But it is hard when you have a little one to sort of be able to go and do work, especially when they're so young.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, cool. And so getting into life coaching, what kind of drove you towards that or what sparked that within you, do you think?
That I feel like I had always been like searching for something. I knew that I wanted to be able to support people and women in a capacity, but I was never really entirely sure how. I've done literally everything. Like I've had fingers in so many pies. Like I studied event management, I did multimedia, I did hospitality, I was in the beauty industry, I worked for a makeup company and worked on counter and was a manager, like managing, you know, 20 women and, you know, did freelance makeup and, you know, I even studied like medical admin, just like random shit. And I was feeling, I can't even remember when it was, maybe like 2000 and it was either 2018 or 2019. And I was feeling really stuck. And I remember saying to my sister-in-law, like, I just want to talk to someone. Like I had seen a psychologist and I was like, I'm kind of over talking about my past right now. Like it doesn't feel aligned with me. I feel like I've been supported enough. Like I want momentum to move forward. And then my sister-in-law was like, oh, like my friend Simone is a life coach. Like maybe you should have a session or like have a couple of sessions with her. And I had never heard of a life coach before. And yeah, that's sort of where that came about. I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I want. And this is like, I could really see myself doing this. So yeah, that's sort of where it all sparked from really. Like I had held a couple of circles prior to becoming a life coach. Just like with like close friends and, you know, their friends and things like that. But yeah. And then I had life coaching and I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I want to do. And yeah, it felt like a real moment for me of like, I'm really glad I never settled for anything else in the past because this is exactly what I wanted to do. So yeah, it sort of brought me to where I am now, which is really cool.
And you kept kind of just pushing towards that nudge as well of being like, no, this isn't it. And going,
yeah, and I felt like such a failure, like because I had never really settled on one thing and I felt like I was really, I guess that's like what society, I guess, puts on you, especially around a career, like the old school mentality of like you have to have a career and you have to settle in it and, you know, our parents and, you know, the generations before, like we'd be in a career for 20 years. Whereas I think nowadays they say like you'll have 7 different types or something like that. So yeah, I felt like a real failure because I hadn't found my thing at, you know, like 25 or whatever. When, you know, you're supposed to have, and I'm doing that in air quotations, like, yeah. So I was really glad that I just kept going and kept trusting and I got there eventually and I'm sure it'll change again, no doubt. I don't have any doubt about it, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a massive thing of like, I remember coming out of school and I was like, oh my God, but like I like this and I like that and like how am I going to find that in one job? But it's just that realization of going, you don't need to find all that in one job. You can do multiple different things and try different things. And yeah, it's just, I think it comes back to that idea of society's kind of view of going, okay, get a job, go to uni, go do this, and that's it. Yeah. The idea of doing something for like 20, 30 years straight, like, kills my brain.
Yeah, it kills mine too. Like, I couldn't imagine. Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
But yeah, so then I guess going or starting from like, say, back in childhood as well, what were you like as a kid?
Oh, well, I'm the eldest, so I always felt like I was like a motherly like figure anyway. I have 2 younger sisters and my childhood was a little like it was very up and down. Like my parents very up and down. Like my dad used to drink a lot and yeah, it was quite chaotic at times. So it was always just like a really, like I felt like a really strong unit with like my mum and my sisters and it was always like us four. So I think for me, yeah, I was always very like motherly. I was always took on I feel like I was very much like a leader as well. So like I would take on responsibility even at like a really young age. But I also feel like I was kind of just, I was a bit of a tomboy, to be honest. And I still feel like that weaves a lot within me. Like I don't find myself very super feminine. Like sometimes I can be, sometimes I'm not. And I think I was always like, I was a bit cheeky, to be honest. Like I would play up and get myself in a bit of trouble, and very, like in my teen years, very rebellious. But also respectful, I felt. Like I wasn't super rebellious where I would like completely, you know, like retaliate against my parents. Like I was still respectful. So yeah, I feel like I've always been, yeah, a very nurturing, very loving, and yeah, a little bit rebellious, and yeah, kind of like I would question a lot of things a lot, I think. And yeah, just being the eldest, I've always felt like I've had that sort of nurturing and loving role towards my sisters, but also towards other people, which sometimes I guess could be like a total people pleaser and like trying to fix people and their issues and like, yeah, trying to support them through their things when, you know, I didn't even really know how to do that for myself. So yeah, I think definitely loving and nurturing for sure. And then, yeah, a little bit of a rebel, a little bit of a tomboy. So, yeah, I think I've had like a fire sort of in my belly since a young age.
Yeah, and do you feel like that's kind of still, you know, coming through you now in that sense, in like that rebellious side of that as well, where, you know, you question things and you go against the grain in ways and, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that like when I decided to become sober, I think that was a huge thing for me because alcoholism, I guess, runs deep within my family, but it also, like, it's a huge thing in society. Like if you don't drink alcohol, like you're a bore, like you're not to be trusted, there's something wrong with you. And for me, that was like the biggest form of rebellion, but also the biggest act of self-love for myself. So it was kind of like, that's where like the Radiant Rebellion came up for me. It's like, I'm rebelling against something that is so ingrained in me and in society, but I've actually never felt more radiant in my life. Like I literally was like, I am a fucking light beam. Like I felt so good. So yeah, I definitely think that has carried on through my life as I've gotten older. And I think it becomes louder as I've gotten older. Like there's less, like, and especially becoming a mum, there's like less bullshit. I filter through that really quickly, and if I don't have time for it, or yeah, I just be like, no, I'm good, thanks. Whereas yeah, before, you know, might have tried to people please and like fix and help, and yeah, right now I'm just like, nah, I don't have that time.
It really splits that line of like, I have priorities, you're either in it or not, like
yeah. And yeah, just like not like, yeah, not fucking around on that, like allowing my emotions and energy to be drained, because I actually have like my family, well, myself first is priority, and then my family. So yeah, it filters out lots of crap being a mum, I feel.
Yeah. And so how did going into kind of your motherhood journey, I guess, how did that start for you going into pregnancy and all that?
Well, Luke and I, yeah, we had been together for like 3 years, and it had always been something that we spoke about, but neither of us, yeah, we spoke about it, but we never made any serious plans. And then when I did get sober, so I've been sober for like, I don't know, 16, 17 months. So like at the start of 2020, actually, I stopped drinking, and I think it was on the 3rd of January. And then in Feb, I was like, yeah, I think like maybe we could try for a baby. And Luke was like, yeah, cool. And the next month, so in March, we got pregnant. So we were really fortunate to have a really like easy conception. Like nothing went wrong. So, and it wasn't hard for us. So we were really fortunate in that way. And then, yeah, I think from being pregnant, everything, I think that was when I really started to harness that rebellion and that radiance within me, because like I really took good care of myself. I made sure that like I was having acupuncture, which I had been doing prior to being pregnant. Like rest was important. Having support, like my birth support team, and setting boundaries. And obviously it was, boundaries were quite easy in 2020 because nobody was seeing anyone. But then when everything lifted, it was making sure that I was able to rest because I was heavily pregnant. So yeah, I think pregnancy taught me a lot about, yeah, harnessing that aspect of myself. And I'm quite a sensitive soul as well. So I can totally empathize with you on the emotional parts of pregnancy and how I think it really provokes your thoughts and like about past things. And like I was looking at your story today about how like appreciating your own like mum,
yeah,
for all the things, or any other mums for all the things that they've done for you until you're in that position, like you appreciate them, yeah, but until you're actually a mother, you're, yeah, like, oh my god, like, so yeah, it really provoked a lot of things. And I felt in like really connected with Ayla like while I was pregnant. Yeah, I went to like a cacao ceremony in the February, and where I was in a like deep meditative state, and like she came through to me. And that was when I said to Luke, like, I think we need to have a baby. Like, I don't know what it is. And like a couple of weeks prior, my acupuncturist gave me the book Spirit Babies. So I was having like all these weird signs, I guess, about a baby. And yeah, I was like, okay, cool. And then literally, I think a week after the cacao ceremony, I went to a holding space facility training thing with a beautiful group of like women and my beautiful coach, Sammy. And again, deep meditative state. And there she was again. And I was like, all right. I literally, like, I think I went home that weekend, was like, let's make a baby. So yeah, it was, I think it opened me up spiritually quite a lot. Like I think I'm quite a connected, tapped in, tuned in person, especially with myself. But that amplified it 100%.
Like in regards to say spirituality and that side of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know that obviously plays in part with a lot of probably your work already previously beforehand.
Yeah.
What does that kind of mean to you now within that realm in that sense?
Well, I think during pregnancy, it was very, I was really in tune. I was really quite tapped into, like, I was tapped into, like, my guides. I was having visitations from past loved ones. I was connecting in with Ayla. Whereas as a mother, it's not really there at the moment. Like, there's definitely, I think it's a different kind of spirituality. It's very innate, like, and I'm holding my gut and like my heart, because I think it's like an innate thing that you just know, like it's instinctual as a mother. And I feel like I've been very fortunate to like not buy into the bullshit around like motherhood, like, because there's a lot of bullshit around it, I find, about what you should be doing and, you know, like all the stuff that you, yeah, get sold and things like that. And I haven't done any of that. Like, I've just sort of trusted to be like, okay, like, especially with like breastfeeding, you know, people like, have you got the app to like time their feeds and like put in however many feeds? And I was like, no, like, I don't even know what boob I fed from last. Like, I'm not even going to have time to like put that in, and I just trust that she's getting enough. Like, she'll let me know if she's not. So,
which one was it?
Exactly. Always touching them, always. And I, yeah, tried the hair tie thing, and that didn't work. But yeah, I think spirituality played a lot into my birth as well. So I felt just super connected to Ayla, and that was like my main. I was devoted to her throughout my pregnancy, and I was devoted to myself. So I think having that connection with her And like we named her like straight away, like we spoke to her, that we spoke about her. It was like she already like was here. And then, yeah, that really helped, I think, through my birth as well. So, yeah, spirituality's played a really big part of my life. Like my mum, you know, growing up had cards and crystals and lots of candles and, you know, just like little things that looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, like totally know where I get it from.
Like, were there it's any always been that. Or like points of, say, when you were younger, when you kind of like looked at that stuff or not made much of a thought of it and gone, oh, okay, like that's whatever?
Yeah, literally, like mum would like sometimes get her cards out and be like, do you want to pull a card? And I'd be like, okay. Like I, as a child, thought these beautiful cards, like these fairy cards, were just like fairies because I was obsessed with fairies. And that was it. I was like, cool. Like that's a really cool thing that mum has. Like these cards are really nice. I wonder if any of my friends' mums have these too. Like, you know, their mum's yeah. fairy cards. So yeah, it was funny. Like I never really registered until, yeah, I got a lot older.
Yeah, it kind of comes in a full circle in a way.
It totally does, yeah. And you've got to steal your mum's cards and be like, as a teenager, to get like some answers about some high school bullshit. So yeah, it's funny. I don't think I realised until I was pregnant how much that played a part in my upbringing, for sure. And because we're Irish as well, so when I was pregnant, I was looking into like traditional Irish things that they did in pregnancy and postpartum and things like that, because I was like, that's super important to me, and not just taking from other people's cultures, but and like appropriating some things, but you know, also being able to utilize what other people have, but make sure that I'm actually harnessing into what my ancestors did. So yeah, lots of conversations with my two of my grannies, and yeah, just was able to do that, and I felt really tapped into my ancestry when I was pregnant. So
yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And so going into, I guess, once you had Ayla, was there any kind of, you know, expectations or things that you hadn't preempted or, like, surprises into it all?
Oh, my God. Breastfeeding was, like, the biggest fucking shock to me ever. Like, I was like, oh, this is the most natural thing ever. I'll be a pro at it. I have big boobs, I'm gonna have plenty of milk and it'll be fine. Because like I don't think I've actually ever heard anyone say how like tough breastfeeding is, and it is tough. Like it's hard work. So yeah, she wouldn't latch, and so she was on formula I think for like the first week, 2 weeks of her life, and then we did the nipple shield, and then I was pumping around the clock, and then I think finally at like six to seven weeks old, she finally latched. And I actually had like a lactation consultant come out, best money that my mum ever spent for me. Like mum was like, I'm getting this for you because I want you to have that support. And I think too, like preparing for my postpartum, so I had a doula the whole way through like pregnancy, birth and postpartum. But now looking back, I wish, like, my birth was amazing and I'm really glad that I invested my time into birth and preparing for that, and I had a really good model of care, so that continuity plays a massive role, as we all know. Postpartum, I wish that I just sort of relaxed more and like eased into it and just really enjoyed that, you know, and like stayed in bed more and just like had more skin to skin and snuggled Ayla. So definitely breastfeeding. And I think though, like postpartum, you just like, if I feel like if you've had a really good birth as well, there's no trauma, it makes your postpartum experience different. So a little bit more easy, and that's not always the case, but on my experience, it was easeful for me to be in that postpartum, whereas I know friends of mine who have had traumatic births or have had tears or C-sections where they've had to really physically recover, that has impacted their postpartum. So yeah, I think breastfeeding and yeah, just like allowing postpartum to just be a little bit more flowy and not have to, yeah, I don't know. I was really excited to show Ayla off though. So like those, like that adrenaline, that like oxytocin, I was so proud of myself through birth. So like I literally just wanted to share her with everyone. So yeah, definitely next time, like when we have another baby, at postpartum will be a different experience for sure.
Yeah. And I think it comes around to as well, like it's like in hindsight and reflection, like when you're amongst that kind of, you don't know what's going on, what time it is, what's happening, like, but you look at it and you're like, oh my God, that went so quick. And for me now, like, my last podcast that I did with Tess the other day, I was talking in it about just like, I can't wait for the second time round because I just, you know I'm already going to feel less anxious about things and you're just going to have more confidence within yourself as well. And I think it,
100%.
That. And it's just, yeah, that initial thing of, you know, no one gets the manual to being a parent and, you know, you've got so many, I think the beginning of afterbirth is the whole rebirth of yourself as well, just fire and realizing that, wow, you can set these boundaries. And like, I don't know about you, but it just gave me so much more power within myself and so much more, like for me personally beforehand, I feel like I was very people pleasing. I was very like, didn't say or voice my needs enough. And it really made me prioritize that and realize and go, no, like put you first, put your thoughts and feelings and all this first. And then all that will come back around and serve you in other ways.
Yeah, 100%. I'm learning that a lot at the moment, being in lockdown again. And it, like, it's really played huge on my mental health. And like, I'm a very strong person. I'm really resilient. Like, I've gone through shit in my life. Like, and I know that I can get through hard things. And I just remember, like, I just am like, I need to surrender to that and be vulnerable and let myself be like heard and supported and be okay to ask for that. So yeah, totally. Like if I'm not good, like, so if I'm having a shit time, if I'm not well mentally, if I feel like not supported, then that's going to ripple through. And I feel like that in any case, whether you're a mother or not, it'll ripple through aspects of your life. So
yeah,
and it will, yeah, it'll, I guess, like create, like, it'll unbalance things and not have harmony in your life. So yeah, I think it's super important, especially as new mums, first time, second time, third time, however many times. Yeah, you really need to prioritize yourself. Like, it's not, you don't have to be the martyr. Like, you don't have to sacrifice in order to be a good mum. Again, that's what society really puts on us, is like, your needs are last. Like, you are only a good mother if you can exceed your children's needs, your partner's needs. Like, you can do the household chores and you can cook the dinner and you can go to work. And like, society nowadays is not built for you to thrive and succeed in motherhood. It's, the world isn't really built for it anymore. So yeah, definitely getting your needs met is like a priority and something that I'm definitely learning. And I hope too, like when my sisters, if they ever have children, that they can be like, oh, Al did this, so it's safe for me to do that too. So
yeah,
it's 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you said that as well, because that was like one thing that rang really prominent for me. I can literally just remember my mum, the whole like entire time of my childhood is just her saying like, oh, you know, like, because I have four younger siblings and there was my youngest brother is now 10. So it was quite a big gap between all of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like all I can think of is just constantly her saying, you know what, maybe maybe like soon I'll have enough time for myself kind of thing, and that it was always everything and everyone else before it. And I just remember beforehand I was like, I knew how independent I was as a person and just how much better, like, of even me being like, before I had Gabe, me being in solitude and having that time to myself was so important to me. I know I need that once it comes into me having a baby, because I know that I'm going to feel better by doing that. I already knew that that filled my cup. So I love that you say that. And I think slowly it will move towards that. I think with people being more open as well on social media and say things like that, like every time you post, you know, anything on your story in regards to you having a shit day or just like this is not going right, like I think it just creates that connection and bond so much more, because you're like, oh okay, it's not just me. And like,
and yeah, everyone's human, like that's the thing. And totally relate to what you're saying about your mom. Like my mom was the same, like she worked and she apologizes to me now, you know, and she's like in her like late 50s, she's like, I'm so sorry that I wasn't there for you, I'm sorry that you had to go to like after school care and that you had to catch the bus to school. And I was like, mom, like it's all good, like it's so fine, like yeah, you were doing a lot, like you were doing it alone, like it's not like you had a choice. So I was like, it's all good, like it's fine. And I think now watching her with Luke and I, she's like, it's so beautiful to see that you have a supportive partner and that you allow us to come and support you. Because like that was one of the things she said, because I never allowed people to see me sort of like when I was down or like support me the way that you allow people to support you. So
yeah
I think
we saying that.
Yeah, and you also give that back to them too, I think. Like you say, it's okay. Like, it's okay that you felt that way. It's okay that maybe it didn't work out the way you wanted to, but I'm here to do the opposite and to pave the way for your grandchild, essentially. So, yeah, I think it's a really nice way to sort of look at it and, yeah, sort of close those cycles up, I guess, of old programming and paradigms.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing I think as well, that once you become a mum you kind of realize this whole, like it goes back to that appreciation for them, because you realize that like they were your mum but they had this whole other identity and like going through all this crap like in the meantime.
Yeah,
you're just a kid and you were just like, mum, food, like this, that, and you,
yeah, and like sometimes
into it, yeah,
sometimes it's like, I was such a bitch sometimes to my mum. And I'm just like, oh my God, you were literally going through such a hard time. And I witnessed it, like with my parents, like I saw it. But like as a kid, I guess you only have the capacity to really think about yourself and understand, snippets. So yeah, it's super crazy.
Yeah. And so I also wanted to touch on as well, so because for people listening, the reason I think I'd actually kind of started following you while you were pregnant or so towards the end. And then so Alan actually held holding the mama circles, and I like it literally came at the perfect timing because I was reading, I don't know if you've read the book Mama Rising.
Yes, I read it before I had Ayla. Yeah.
And I really loved the first part of it, but then I feel like towards the end it kind of just like drifted off. But yeah, when I was reading it, like all this stuff, and like I was like clicking onto all this matrescence and identity, like it was just funny, but I was like, I was trying to figure it out and being like, why the hell am I feeling like this? And like just so many, like, yeah, I just feel like it's still not talked about enough these days. And yeah, when I was coming into all that, it, like I'd finished the book, it literally come up perfect timing when you did that. I was like, yes, like I want to do one of these circles. So I did it, and it was just so incredible the way that you held space for us in it. And it was really cool as well, just in that timing of, I think we weren't in lockdown at that point, but it was really special. So did you want to talk a bit about that as well?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, like I feel like my work has really, like it's changed, and I expected it to, because I totally knew that once I had a child, like once I birthed Ayla, like I would be rebirthing myself. And I feel like you're in a void for such a long time, like you're in between worlds for, you know, it's, and again, it's different for everyone. But I now know that I really want to support mums, like, and mothers, and I really want to support families as well, because I feel like as a unit in transitioning from, you know, just a couple or, you know, one child families to two, like everything, it's a huge dynamic change for not only the mum, the children, but also partners as well. So I'm actually studying to become a postpartum doula as well. So these circles, I literally only ran one. I was going to run another one, but it didn't really vibe with me. And I was like, that's okay. Don't want to do things half-assed, so we'll create that space for it. It'll come back up when it's ready. So yeah, I was holding circles prior to having Ayla, and then I thought, you know what, a lot of mums that I've spoken to just want to be seen and heard, and I find it quite hard talking to people who don't have children, especially in this season that I'm in, where it feels that identity shift feels really hard at the moment. So, and there's so many layers just continually like unraveling. So I wanted to create a space for like mums of all seasons, not just new mums, but mums in all seasons of life to come and just speak and to be seen and to be witnessed. You know, cause like so often it's like, oh, like, that sucks, but like you have like a child and you should be really grateful, or, you know, it's not that bad, it'll pass, you know, like things like that, or people without children like giving you advice about how to raise kids or motherhood, and I'm just like, no, I'm not here for that, that's like not for me. I wanted to create a container for mums to come and to to literally chat about everything. And I think it's really important to just show up like however you are, like whether you're having a really shit time or whether you're like absolutely kicking ass in motherhood, both are totally welcome in that space. And yeah, I will be working on something like a group coaching for mums. It's all written down, it's in the pages, I just don't know when or when that's coming to life, but it's definitely coming. And again, just for mothers to be able to reclaim themselves, like I think so much it's, I don't know, I feel like motherhood is really, I don't know what the word is, but it's like underappreciated, I find, in a lot of ways. And it's funny, like I was talking to Luke, my partner, about how in the newborn phase everyone is checking in on you, everyone wants to come and see you, everyone sort of wants to be able to support you, and they want to know what to do. But then once your child gets older and bigger, everyone, like, it fades off, it really fizzles out, right? And I feel like postpartum isn't just that 6 weeks, postpartum is forever, because you're forever evolving as your child evolves, like they're forever growing. So you as a mother are adapting and changing and nurturing and supporting different children, even though they're the same one. Like, so yeah, for me, it was like, I really want to create a container where women feel really supported regardless of their season of motherhood. And yeah, I'd love to do in-person events, and I plan on doing that. And being able to have, you know, guest speakers and other mamas, and, you know, not just like surviving motherhood, but like thriving in it as well. And I'm all for the shitty bits too. Like, I'm not someone that will, I mean, I definitely have been someone that will be like, yeah, it's fine when it's not, but I'm not here to just glorify the best parts of motherhood, because it's not like that at all. And I think there is a lot of stigmatism around mums not being happy all the time and being grateful all the time. Like, it's the hardest thing I've ever fucking done. Like, I have no idea. I don't know how I do it. And, you know, it's something I've never done before, but yet you wake up every morning and you do it. So being able to have that support, I think, is super important of other mums, because that's what I've found has really, in my experience, gotten me through some of the really hard days, is knowing that I've got other mums to lean on who don't judge me, who see me, and yeah, will support me that way and vice versa.
Yeah, and having that community and connection like is so, so huge. And I don't think going into motherhood, I did not realize that as well. I think for me, like it was more like later into it, I was kind of like, holy crap, like there was all these things and you have all these emotions and feelings and like it's awesome that, you know, there's all these things to go up and search on social media and stuff and everything. But like even for me, I think before I'd kind of found like my few main kind of mums that I have now that are really close and like we just really rely on each other. Before I had them, it was kind of, I was always searching for being like, why is anyone on social media that's like young and this and that, but like has a baby and yeah, just it really takes you through so many depths of like, and it goes back, I guess, to that quote of it where it's like, it's the hardest thing you will ever do in your entire life, but it's also the most like soul filling best thing that you
can
explain to someone. And it's, I think a lot of that judgment comes from outside of, yeah, like you said, like people that aren't parents and people that aren't thinking. Mm-hmm. Because, like I shared this post today saying that, you know, we were the best mums before we were mums.
Oh my God. Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. And there's things that you were like, oh, I will never do that. And it's that you do now.
Bite me on the ass now.
Yeah. And like even what you were just saying about the hardest thing, I remember like, I think Ayla was like a week old and Luke and I literally were looking at each other with like tears in our eyes going, oh my God, this is the hardest thing, like the hardest time, but it is actually the happiest time. And it's so bizarre to be the happiest and also struggling and feeling defeated in the same breath. So, and I think that is what motherhood is. It's a continuous of breathing in the hard times and also breathing in the happy times, sometimes separately, sometimes at the same time in the one breath. So yeah, I totally see you in that.
Yeah,
it's yeah, unexplainable sometimes, I find.
So it's so random. Yeah. And so just to finish off on kind of as well coming into it, have you noticed any kind of big prominent shifts within yourself and like your identity through motherhood since?
I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed about myself is that I'm less judgmental. Like I'm like, if it works for you, do it. Like I actually couldn't care less about how you show up to be a mum, how you show up to be your real self, how you show up in this world. As long as it feels really good for you, then that's great. I don't have time to, I mean, obviously it's, if it's coming from a place of love and kindness, great. If it's coming from a place of not that, and it's unjust and it's not right, then obviously I'll speak my mind. But I just feel like I'm less judgmental about myself, I'm less judgmental about the people around me. I literally just feel like I go, okay, everyone's just doing their best, everyone is literally doing their best, and yeah, just giving myself the grace as well to be like, okay, Elle, you're doing your best as alongside everyone else, that's what you're doing. And I think that is important to gift yourself that grace too, that you would so easily gift to other people. And I think, yeah, just like, I remember saying to Luke, like, I feel the most at ease that I've ever felt. In a really long time, I can be quite anxious, but yeah, since having Ayla, that hasn't really arisen, only recently because of the lockdown again. And I think that's bringing up old emotions and feelings about last year. But like, yeah, I feel a lot more ease, a lot more relaxed, and yeah, there's less judgment and expectations, I think, on myself and other people. Like, yeah, I just try and give myself that grace and remind myself that everyone's doing the best they can. And also not like trying to be there for everyone. Like I've noticed that recently. I'm like, I should call this person. I should reach out to this person. I should see how this person is. And I was like, actually, how about like I reach out and touch base with myself first? Again, just like that quality over quantity, I think, of time and people, I guess. It's amazing as well, like how you can find quality in such little things.
Yeah.
You know, like having a really nice, delicious hot shower. Like, I know I've heard so many mums say this, like hot shower is like next level. Before you had children, you would just be like, whatever, like in, out. Whereas now I'm like, oh my God, that water is so nice. Like, it feels so good. Like, this is my little sanctuary.
A lot more. Yeah. Yeah. That's like me. The minute I have my hot chocolate at night and I'm like, this is amazing.
Everyone,
like, I'm settling into my zone. I'm ready to go to bed soon. And just little things. Yeah. You literally are like, oh, like you take a lot more gratitude in the smaller things or the small moments you get to be like, or the moments where you're kind of like amongst parenting or something, or like when your baby looks at you somewhere and you're just like, oh, like you're so worth it. Like
taking a breath sometimes. Like Ayla at the moment is fighting sleep and it's really hard. And sometimes I just have to hold her against me while she's like fighting it out and screaming and just take a breath. And sometimes when I melt, I feel like she melts with me. And I think also another really big thing that I've noticed in myself is communicating. I hate conflict and I never wanted to, I'm not that I'm like picking fights with anyone, but I'm just like speaking my truth a lot more and having conversations, especially with my partner, Luke. Like we have conversations that maybe I necessarily wouldn't have had before, but I don't have time to allow any like uneasy feelings sit in my body. I have to get it out. Resolve it. You know, so, or like just get it off my chest. So yeah, that's another thing. So I think judgment, like finding the gratitude and the quality in really small little things, communicating and filling up my cup first, like, you know, the oxygen mask on you before anyone else, like that to me is like a true metaphor for motherhood.
Yeah, you either start kind of dabbling into it or you learn the hard way and then you like get to this point of being like, oh shit, where's the time for me? And then that's when you really start to lean into it, I think. And happens for people, yeah.
Yeah, there's no pride for me personally. There's no pride in being a busy, perfect mother, because I don't believe that there is a perfect mother. I don't want to perceive that. I've never been that kind of person. I don't have time to pretend like I have my shit together, because I don't most of the time. Exactly. So yeah, being real and like just my inner circle is a lot smaller, but I have incredible support. So I feel really grateful for that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story with us. I'm really excited for people to hear it. And I think there's so many valuable tips in there as well that, you know, people could really take on as well. And I'm excited to see the eventuation of your next program when it does come.
Yeah, me too. Who knows when or what it will be. Thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to do motherhood alongside you. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing, because this work is super important too.